I just want to say before I start, I sure do love the Lord for what he's done for me. I don't deserve it. Would you open the precious word of God to the book of 2 Thessalonians this morning? 2 Thessalonians, appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great blessing. I am thankful that he has broken the chains and we can live in freedom. I just wonder so many times why we want to get back into bondage. And sin is quite a taskmaster, isn't it? Satan is certainly a taskmaster. But I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want to say, I'm going to speak for Brother Robert here. Brother Robert called last night. He wanted to thank the church for all of you that came to the funeral. It was quite a wonderful group of people there. And let Brother Robert know they love and appreciate him. I was so encouraged. He called me last night. He said that his cousin had told him last night. And he looked at Robert and said, "Don't you ever leave that church." He goes, "I've never seen a group of people that care and love so much." That encouraged me. By the way, we all fail. I know that. That was a great encouragement to me. That's a testimony for the Lord and for the church. Appreciate that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." And I want you to notice, "for your patience and faith in all," and I want you to notice these words, "persecutions, tribulations that you endure." Verse 5, "which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also," and I want you to notice this next word, "suffer." Verse 6, "seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." So you see a theme here in the first few verses. We find that trouble, tribulation, persecutions, problems are predominant in these verses. And so I want to bring a message basically out of verse number 3 this morning. But let's pray and ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. I pray now that you'll speak to our hearts and help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about trouble, persecutions, and I want to kind of go along with these lines that I've been looking at the last few weeks on Wednesday night, and I even preached on Sunday night. I want to encourage you to be back tonight. Miss Laura and I will be finishing up the sessions on Sunday night, and the one we'll be dealing with tonight is just trying to just give some helpful things for some subjects and questions that have come in. And again, we don't have all the answers, but we've enjoyed working together, looking in the Word of God, reminiscing, thinking about how God has helped us and others through history. And we want to just give some things that will be helpful. One of the things that we'll be dealing with tonight is finances. Another issue that we'll be dealing with is blended families. There's been a question about blended families. There's been a question about the responsibility of parents educating their children. What does God have to say about all of that? And then we want to deal with some other subjects. There's about 7 of them, so you'll be back tonight. But when we think about this passage of scripture, I must go, if you would, just quickly go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because I believe something has intensified from the first letter to the second letter. And if you notice in verse 3, there's something very comparable in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, I want you to notice the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, "remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope and our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So we understand in 1 Thessalonians, he's recognizing that they have a wonderful work of faith, and he's commending them on their love and he's commending them on their hope. But I want you to notice in 2 Thessalonians, the next letter, we find something even greater in verse 3. The Bible says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, that your faith groweth. Groweth. And then it says, exceedingly, and the charity. There's that love. And the Bible says that love and the charity, every one of you all toward each other, abound. So in other words, from the first letter to this letter, they had faith, they had love, they had hope. It was commended in the first letter, but in the second letter, we see a commendation of it even has grown from the first letter. Now, I believe there's a reason for that. If you notice in chapter, the first letter in 1 Thessalonians, now I'm not saying there wasn't persecution, I'm not saying there wasn't trouble, I'm not saying they weren't suffering, but we certainly see in the second epistle of 2 Thessalonians that there's no doubt these people were dealing with problems, trouble, suffering, and persecution. Would you agree? In these verses, he mentions them time and time again. In verse 3, he said, or in verse number 4, we see that there's persecution and tribulation that you're enduring. Then in verse 5, said he's using the word you're suffering. And then in verse 6, we see that there were people troubling them. So we find trouble, suffering, and we find persecution. So we find hard days. We find some tough times. And I want to just bring these words. This is the lesson, the sermon, the message this morning. Encouraging words for bad days. Encouraging words for bad words, for bad days. You know, usually, and I'm not saying curse word, but usually bad words may be the first to come to mind when we think of times that are hard, things that are coming up on us that are troubling, we're being persecuted, we're maybe suffering, we're dealing with some things that's just not what we would call fair. We wouldn't use good words there. We would normally use depressive words or negative words. But I want you to know in our text, we find some encouraging words that God reminds us of even when the days aren't good and they might be bad. Now, there may be no observable reason for why problems come into our life. You might be sitting out there today and say, Lord, you know my heart. I am not trying to live a life of sin. I do not think that I have anything in my life right now that is wrong or sinful. I don't have wrong motives. By God's grace, I'm trying to do everything that I can to please the Lord. But that still does not mean that trouble and persecution and things will come to your life. To be quite honest, it's probably opposite of that. You probably will face more tribulation and struggle and tough times and trouble if you're trying to serve the Lord. We understand that, but it's still, even though we know that's true, it's still tough when you're in the middle of it, when it is a dark day. And so what are some encouraging words? And you know, we're not perfect, but you are sincerely trying, and you find yourself asking this question maybe today. And if you're not asking it today, you've asked it in the past, but if you're not asking it today, then stow this away, because I promise you, you will ask it later. Why me, Lord? Now, I want to say to you this morning, asking that question is not really bad, because we understand that there's a purpose for everything. God allows things in our lives, and by the way, he allows trouble and suffering at times for our benefit. And I want to say, one of the saddest things that I've ever seen, write it down, is purposeless suffering. Purposeless suffering. In other words, there are people that are going to continue to suffer, they're going to make bad decisions, they're going to continue to do the things that they continue to do, and then they sit back and they wonder, I don't understand what I'm supposed to get out of this, and you let a failure go to waste. Don't let a failure go to waste. Learn from it. Learn from it. I, honest church, I'm sitting here thinking of all the Word of God that's been heralded from this pulpit, and all the times that people sit in a Sunday school class and they listen to truth They have it right there in their eyes. They can see it with their eyes. They can hear it with their ears. They can feel it with their heart. And then we walk out of this building and we go out here and we do the complete opposite and we wonder why our lives aren't where it should be. We have the answers. And I want to say to every church member here this morning, if you're visiting, it's not always easy, but it's always right. I think sometimes even Christians, we walk in, come in, you know, we come to church when we want to, we come in here, sit down, we listen to the songs, we listen to everything, and we think, oh, well, that's good. And we walk outside and we wonder, I wonder, does it really truly affect us? It ought to keep us from making some decisions. The Word of God that's being brought up day in, day out, week in, week out of this church ought to temper us. Ought to guard our lives. I hope that every husband here, you're the preacher at home. I hope you are constantly trying to lead your family in the things of God. By the way, that's not just my job to do. If I can be helpful, I want to be helpful, but I wonder, I look out here at this great land, this great country that we live in, and I see the homes and relationships crumbling. And it's not because we don't have a word. It's not because we don't have the answer. It's because we're simply not interested. So I say, don't let a failure go to waste. By the way, if sin was sin 10 years ago, it's the same today. And I know, I want every young person to listen to me just a minute. I know I was there. I've been there. I know where you're at. And by the way, you don't have to be a young person to feel this way. I know adults thinking this way right now. Oh, that's good preaching and everything, Brother Mark, but I'll just be honest with you. I don't think it will be that bad. Well, I promise you, sin will be that bad. Once you get on that road, once you get on that car, you might try to find the brake, but I'm going to promise you something. You won't find the brake. You will go farther than you would ever dream you're going to go, and it's going to cost you more than you was ever willing to pay. Now listen, God's done told us that. He's not playing hide and seek with us. He's not saying, okay, now y'all go ahead and try it, and I just don't know what I'm going to know. Brother Mike, he's done told us what he's going to do. He's done told us that sin brings death. So can I help every parent here just a minute? Before you start condoning the sin of your children, you better be careful and start thinking about their future, because that sin will bring the children you love to death. And I don't mean it might not require them of their life. There's some things that's worse than dying. And the Bible speaks clearly about these things. There are things that are worse than death. And we understand this, though. This death is a principle of destroying destructive lives, just choices sin destroys. So I say, if you have committed a sin, then look, here's this principle. Learn from it. I remember as a boy, and it shouldn't be the greatest motive, but I can remember sinning against my parents and my mother crying. I broke her heart. I'm going to be honest with you. I broke her heart. There were times in my life I broke my mother's heart. And I'm going to say to you, I've thought about that many times. And I thought it did stop me from some things. But let me just say, I need to think, if my sin only affects me, it's one thing. But my sin doesn't just affect me. My mistakes just doesn't affect me. It affects everyone that loves me and in my life. So we had to learn from our mistakes so we can cause and quit causing hurt for people we love. And even greater than that, why would we want to continue to hurt the heart of our Savior? That's the greatest motive. Why would we want to continue to live a way that would hurt the heart of our Savior? So don't let trouble go to waste. What are you going through has not caught God off guard. It's no surprise to him. Paul writes this letter because since his first letter, I believe the persecution, the trouble, and the sorrow has increased. So Paul was writing to encourage him. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceeding, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Let me ask y'all a question. What brings about growth? What causes plants to grow? Let's say that every, you go out and plant a garden, praise the Lord, I think the Lord thinks we need some rain, amen? But let's say that you want to go out and plant a garden and it never rains. And all you have sunny good days, y'all tell me, is that plant going to grow? What's it got to take? It's got to have what to grow? Rain. It's got to have clouds. It's got to have darkness. If it was always sun shining all the time, Mike, even plants, that is just a principle of science that we all understand, that it takes more than just sunny days for something to grow. What's caused their faith to grow? What's caused their love to grow? What's helped them endure? What has caused their hope? What's brought it? So let me just, I'm going to answer for you right here from these scriptures. Here it is. Y'all ready? Trouble. The benefits of trouble. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I want you to know trouble, struggle, problems, dark days, persecution, suffering. Now notice the contrast. They had faith. Their work of faith was commended. Their love was commended. Their hope was commended. But in 2 Thessalonians, another letter, and I don't know exactly how much time from the first letter to now, but something has increased. The trouble has increased. The persecution has increased. The sorrow has increased. The trouble has increased. But wait a minute now, don't miss it. So has their faith. So has their love. So has their hope. So watch out now. Be careful, because in your darkest days, watch out. Somebody's growing. Can I just say this morning, watch out, your faith's growing in trouble. Watch out now, your faith. Don't look now, but your faith's growing in trouble. You know, faith can grow, but it must be exercised. Here's a good word. It must be stretched. I wonder, how many of you older folks that's been here a long, long time, can I ask you a question? How many of you are stretching your faith? That's why it's good for us to launch out here in the things in the church to stretch our faith. Well, that's just the way it's always been. No, I'm not interested in things that's always been. I want things to stretch our faith. For instance, I think about the ladies' fellowship. Miss Laura, that ladies' fellowship ought to always be stretching the ladies' faith. And giving and doing things and spread, and look here, and getting uncomfortable. I've never seen anybody grow comfortable. Oh, it's comfortable in here. Y'all know what happens when it gets comfortable in here? Some of you are already doing it. You go to sleep. And by the way, I'm afraid there's too many churches, they're out like a light. Because they've just gotten comfortable. There's nothing stirring them. They're just fine with coming to church on Sunday. They're just fine, whatever everybody else wants to do. They're not stretching their faith. But Brother Chris, I've learned something about trouble. It stretches your faith. It exercises your faith. Because what else can you do? Brother Mike, when you're in the middle of a dark storm and you can't do anything but trust, that's all you can do. What happens when you're in a place when you're hopeless and helpless and there's not a thing you can do? By the way, I feel that way right now with some people that I love, and I know what they're doing is ruining their life. That there's nothing I can do about it other than pray. But here's how I get rest at night, because I know God loves them more than I could ever love them. And I'm trusting him in this crisis for them that God does something. And I want you to know, and this isn't even about me. I just love these people. But I pray at the end of this, no matter what happens, Brother Don, my faith will be stretched. But know this, that God will do all things well. I was married many years ago. I always get trouble with dates and times. So we'll leave them there. But I remember when I stood before this lady, and by the way, gentlemen, it's not a good thing when your to-be wife is coming down the aisle bawling. She came down to Alma. I was like, man, does she really want me or not? And I know what happened. Her dad was back here saying stuff to her. I know what he did. I know Mason. He's ornery. But we stood before one another. You know what we said we would do? We told each other that we would trust one another. And we would confide in one another. And we'd be there till death do us part. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I stood there before, I can only trust what she said. I had to put faith in her because she said she was going to do the things that she told me to do. But you know what? I want you to know something. But now, since we've been married 26 years, I don't just have to trust what she says anymore. She's proved herself to me. And isn't that how Jesus is? He's proved himself to me. In every dark storm I've ever went through, he's never left me, he's never failed me, he's never forsaken me. He's just as good today as he's ever been. His promises are just as true today as they've ever been. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. See, here's what we do. We got too much stock in people. Miss Peggy, I want to say to you, trust the Lord. Jeremiah, I want to say to you, trust the Lord. Jane, I want to say to you, trust the Lord. Because you know what? People will fail you. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to be like this all the time. Because people will fail you. Trust the Lord. Has he proved himself to you? Sure he has. You know when he proves himself to you? When the night is so dark, the clouds are so thick, the waves are beating across the ship, that's when your faith's growing. You know why? Because your faith's being stretched. And you know what? It's an amazing thing when you talk about faith. When you talk about faith, because there's different degrees of faith, but it's anywhere between unbelief and fact. Think of that. It's not knowing. And it might be real close to unbelief, but somewhere in the middle, there's trust. So watch out in the deepest, darkest storm. Be careful because your faith is growing. It will increase. It sure did for these Christians. Number two, can I say your love is growing? What causes that love to grow? Trouble. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Aboundeth. Think about this. It's a picture of a river overflowing its banks. And you know, and at salvation, God puts his love in our hearts. But what causes that love to overflow into the lives of others? What is that? Where have I really learned how to love? Where have you, if you really love, and if you know what love is, we should know what love is. God is love. But if your heart's really been broken and you really have a love, where has that came from? It's not come in the sunny days. Why did their love towards one another? I thought about yesterday, brother Robert's mother. He has no family that lives in this area. You know, he's by himself. His mother has went home to be with the Lord. And there was a group of people that took of their day that were able to went up and came around to encourage him in a time of what? Was he happy yesterday? Sure, he had peace. But what helps us to really feel like and to know how important people are to us is when trouble comes. When trouble comes. By the way, I say to every child here, you're going to have a lot of regrets, but one of them is going to be you're not going to tell your parents or show your parents enough when you were young how much you should show them how much you love them. You're going to deal with that all through life. When you get older, you're going to look back over your life. You're going to say, you know what? I should have loved more. Why? Because now you're going through things now that you didn't understand then, but your love has grown because you have faced some trouble or problem. Watch out, our love is growing. You know, listen, I'll say this. What causes that love to overflow into the lives of others? It's suffering, trials, heartaches, and tribulation. Some react wrong and grow bitter when things go wrong. And by the way, you can tell that all over their countenance as well. God, help us. Instead of growing better, God has even better days ahead. But let me just ask this question, and this is what come to mind here, Brother Don, and I know I've shared it before, but it's a powerful, true story. In 1946, and all of you know who I'm getting ready to speak of here, in 1946, there was a man by the name of Dr. Lee Robertson, and of course, he's synonymous with this area. How many of your lives have been affected by Dr. Lee Robertson? Would you raise your hand? A bunch. You can do that all. Here's the amazing thing about it. You can do it all around the world and there'll be hands go up. But in 1946, he was at a tent crusade preaching, and he had left his family earlier, and earlier that morning, his little daughter named Joy was perfectly fine. And he got a call while he was at this tent crusade. This two-year-old little girl had passed. She'd gotten ill and died. He drove 2 hours back to Chattanooga to be with his family and his wife and his children and the little girl. They buried her 2 days later, 2 years old. Now get this. He asked God to help him. He went back to the tent crusade to finish preaching. And while he was there, God spoke to his heart. He said, I know you're hurting. I know your heart's broken. But here's what he did, Brother Don. He said, can we allow this sorrow, this hurt to be turned? Can your heart be enlarged? Can your love be greater? And at that moment, he knew that he should start a camp for little children where they could be saved. How many of y'all, is there anybody here that's ever attended Camp Joy? You attended Camp Joy? That's great. Several? Yep. Good. I'll guarantee you one thing. You heard at Camp Joy. You heard the gospel. Do y'all know why Camp Joy was started? Because a little girl named Joy passed away at 2 years of age and broke the mother and father's heart. But God turned it in his heart from it just not being a sorrow and a hurt. He turned it to make Dr. Robertson's heart even enlarged to love more. I ask you a question this morning. Have we allowed troubles and struggles in our life to affect us that way? Can I ask you a question? How many have ever been so brokenhearted that it stirred you to action to do something greater for God? You know, we talk about things like that, and it's kind of rare today. It wasn't rare years ago. I've heard of people talk about pioneering faith. I've heard of these great men of the past, but now we've kind of just gotten settled in and say, well, these other guys years ago, they did all of this. But you know what caused them to do this? Their love enlarged for their Savior and for God's people and for people that Jesus died for. It was trouble and sorrow. Your love grows. When does your love grow? Trouble. Sorrow. Then I want you to notice something else. Their love is growing. Can I say not only their love is growing, their faith is growing? And by the way, that's not even, I didn't even get it. Y'all know what happened. He goes up there for an auction to buy the land. That's an amazing story to me. He goes up there, all these business people are there, all these well-known people in Chattanooga are wanting this same land up here on the lake, and it's property worth thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and he knew people wanted it because they were sitting there talking about it, and they would ask Dr. Roberts, well, what are you up here for? And he'd say, I'm here, I want to start a camp. My little baby girl died, we want to start a camp, help people get saved, reach little children. And by the way, when the time came from the building, guess who? He stood up, he said, $3,000. And the auctioneer was begging people to stand and bid against him. He said, all right, now this land's worth much more than this. Now we can't sell it for three. Who's next? Who's next? And the auctioneer, nobody stood. 1946, he bought that land for $3,000. And listen to me, he didn't even have it. He said, sold. So he goes to the auctioneer and he deals with how to do it. And he said, all right now, where's the three? He said, I ain't got it. But you know what? He knew the heart of his people. It didn't take him long to get it. By the way, when people are involved in something, you'll get it. God's in it. You'll get it. You'll get it. We'll get it. And by the way, God supplies every need in his timing. Let's not get ahead of God. I've been in this thing long enough to know, and I know others get all tore up and worked up over it, but just hold on. In the middle of all that, God's at work. God knows what He's doing. But in the middle of all that, our love should be growing. Our faith should be growing. Number three, our hope should be growing. Notice verse 4, the Bible says this, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Notice these last two words, you endure. You know what that means? That means you're bearing up underneath the load. I want you to know life's tough and sometimes we have to bear a lot of load. But you know what that helps us to do? We just keep on pressing on. We keep on keeping on. And by the way, bitterness leads to retreat. Giving up and running away. But yielding to trials, listen to me now, yielding to trials leads to endurance and strengthening of hope. Don't ever give up hope. Though you may not clearly see the reason for the things that's going on, you can trust and believe in Him. By the way, I want to say this, and it's more than a cute little cliche. He makes no mistakes. That's tough to reason with when you're in the middle of it and you think, man, this isn't making any sense. Again, your faith needs to grow. Your love will grow, and He'll prove Himself once again. And you're going to look back over your life and say, man, Lord, why did I even doubt you? He makes no mistakes. You know, Job suffered like few men have, and he couldn't see no rhyme or reason. I thought about this. He didn't know that God had to give Satan permission to come and touch him. He didn't know what was going on in the councils of heaven. He didn't know that. We do. We knew it. But Job didn't know it. And you know what? That doesn't mean that God has to tell you everything or me everything down here as well. But we trust Him. We have to bear up under it. And so when we think about this passage of Scripture, he didn't know what Satan had to get God's permission to try him, but he was blind. Job had no idea. He was groping for answers. But here's what's amazing. He had hope. Here's what it said. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. I tell you, sometimes I think about, boy, life's so hard and I've got to deal with so many things. You know what? Help us there. Get back to where Job was. And I'm going to be honest with you, after losing everything he had, including every family member he had, every child he had, every wealth, every drop of wealth he had, at the end of that, if he can come to a place and say, oh, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, then I believe we can do the same. God help us. Trials are designed to make our faith grow upward, our love to grow outward, and our hope to grow onward. Don't give up. Don't allow your suffering to become purposeless. God, help us to be stirred. Be stirred. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I probably won't get through this without crying. The reason being is because it was personal to me. And the other day, I'm sitting in my office and dealing with things, and I called to memory a poem that I heard years and years ago. And to be quite honest with you, I was not a pastor when I first heard this, but it always resonated with me. And I really did not think that I could find the poem. But thank God for Google, amen? And this is a poem I heard many, many years ago, and it spoke to my heart on Thursday morning like nothing has spoke to me in a long, long time to go along with this message. Dr. Howells wrote this poem. I heard this poem over 20 years ago in a sermon. And I've thought of the words many times, but I never dreamed that I'd be able to get it in written form. But I found it the other day on the internet, and boy, how it helped my heart, and I pray it will help yours. I have a burden, Pastor, that I'd like to lay on you. I listened, though he never knew I had a burden too. I took a tearful look toward mine, then his came into view. 'Twas plain to see my burden was the larger of the two. I saw his load alongside mine, and though they were both real, the yoke he bore was made of wood and mine was made of steel. To him I said, come unto me, I'll gladly carry thine. Then whispered unto selfishness, but who will carry mine? I softly laid my burden down to help him his to bear, while knowing that my heavy load I'm not allowed to share. I'll help him with his burden, then regain mine after a while. When I will sigh and weep once more, while now I force a smile. I felt the chains of bondage till a captive came to me. He bade me help him break the bands and aid him to be free. I saw the fetters binding him and felt a pity pain, for his were made of little rope and mine of heavy chain. I laid aside my heavy chain so he my help could borrow. I'll help for him of bondage now and think of mine tomorrow. A doubter knocked at my study door. I had an urge to groan. Why bring your pebble doubt to me when mine is made of stone? I smiled at him and listened while believing in my doubt. I laid it down reluctantly and feigned a happy shout. I sat alone in darkened room and felt a shadow's knife. Another came to share with me some darkness in his life. As I compared my night with his dark possessed alike. For his was just an evening shade while mine was midnight black. I slowly laid my nighttime down to help him seek for light. I'll tread my dimming path again when I have made his bright. A troubled soul came to my door, a problem to confide. I had a problem too that day. 'Twas hard for me to hide. My problem was a mountain steep, and his was just a hill. My problem was an ocean wide, and his a tiny kneel. Yet 'tis my lot to fill his need and put mine on the shelf. For I must lay my heartache down and hide it from myself. He told me of a broken heart while mine was breaking too. I told him of a mending God who maketh all things new. He told me of his thirsty soul. I gave him living water. He said he was a broken vase. I told him of the potter. Another came when I was sick to say he had the flu. His fever was 101 and mine 102. Another came when I was faint to say that he was weak. Another came when I was dumb to say he could not speak. Another weeping seeker came for me his tears to dry. I went alone and wiped my eyes, then told him not to cry. Another came when I was tired to say he needed rest. I lifted him with weary arms and tried to give him zest. And now it's late and all have gone. Each one to his abode. So I must find my problems and regain my heavy load. Where is the burden I had borne? I had it while ago. Where is the problem I must solve? I left it here, I know. Where is the darkness I once knew? I now see only light. The chains, the tears, the pains, the fears are nowhere now in sight. I cannot find my broken heart. Where is my fevered brow? I have a song. The tears are gone. I cannot find them now. My sickness now hath turned to health, and trust replaceth fright. Assurance covers all my doubts. My darkness now is light. I heard a voice from heaven say, my child, 'tis always true. When you take care of others' needs, I will take care of you. That's where we're failing, and that's where I fail. We are so consumed with our worries, we think nobody else has them. We want to make such big deal of our troubles and struggles when God allows us to have them so we can help others. And I've learned this. That poem hit and resonated with me because there's been many times I've felt that way. But I've learned this. When people come in my office and they're laying down a problem or laying something that breaks both of our hearts. I've learned this, Brother Mike. At the end of the night, when I go home at bed, I realize that I've been helped just as much as the person that came in my office has been helped. So you say, Pastor, I don't like trouble. Neither do I, but we need it. Why can't life always be happy and bright? It's not good for us. Our faith grows, our love grows, and our hope grows. See what we're going to do, church? we're just going to bear up under it. And we're going to help each other in our times of trouble, and we're going to let God help us during those times. So let's not let trouble or suffering or sorrow go to waste. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray you'll trust Him today. He will save you, and He'll change your life. You might be groping in darkness today, but I promise you He is the light. You say, well, Pastor Mark, how do I meet Him? You meet Him by faith. You have to trust Him by faith. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's simple faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you know it. You know it. A good question to ask is, do you know for sure if you die, where are you going to spend eternity? I wouldn't leave this building unless I knew that answer. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Well, why do you think you're going to get to heaven? Well, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but there was a day in my life that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Spirit of God convicted me, and boy, I didn't know everything about it, but all I knew is I wanted to go to heaven, and all I knew is Jesus revealed Himself and said that He was the way, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I pray you know Him today. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll be dismissed. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of trouble going on in people's lives today, just right here in our church. A lot of trouble. A lot of health needs, and dark days, and discouragement. I could imagine a lot of our caretakers, some of them are here. I know they're weary. My mother did that for years. And I know you get weary. And I know when our loved ones no longer recognize us, I know that's even harder. And we're dealing with that here. Many of our folks in our church are dealing with that today. We have a young man, his grandpa passed away this morning. His grandpa. Brother Roberts, he's going to be going home to an empty house today. With a human not be there, but praise God he's not going home to an empty house because the Lord's with him. But could we get our eyes off of ourselves just for a second? And let God have His way in our hearts to when we're through trouble, we deal with it the way the poemist dealt with it. And let our trouble help our faith to grow, our love to grow, and our hope to grow.